This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. 50% of marriages end in divorce, right? That statistic is so often quoted that we don't question it, only it's not true and never has been. Data shows that marriages splitting up are on the decline and have been since the 1970s and 80s when the divorce rate peaked. Still, the myth of the one out of two marriages ending in divorce persists. So here to help us sift through some of the numbers and why we can't seem to shake the 50% divorce rate is Claire Kane Miller, New York Times reporter, covering tech and gender and work and family for The Upshot at the New York Times website. Claire, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So what is the actual current rate of divorce?
It's hard to say the current rate each year, but if the trends continue that we are seeing right now, two-thirds of marriages will never involve a divorce, meaning only one-third will.
Why the confusion over the divorce rate or reliance on this tried-and-true 50% statistic? Is the data confusing?
There was a time, as you mentioned, in the late 1970s and early 1980s when the divorce rate really peaked, and that one in two marriages end in divorce data point just stuck in our collective minds. But it wasn't true before that, and it hasn't been true since then. In fact, the divorce rate has been declining for three decades. The data is a little bit hard to sift through because states collect divorce records in different ways, and some marriages, of course, end in the death of a spouse. So it is a little bit hard to sift through, but the economists who are looking most closely at that at this say, at this point, two-thirds of marriages will actually make it.
Any theories about the uptick or the sharp uptick of the divorce rate in the 70s and 80s? What was going on?
Well, before then, people were marrying with the same ideas in mind, meaning men were looking for a homemaker and women were looking for a breadwinner. They found what they were looking for and their marriages tended to work out. Of course, then we had the feminist revolution in the 70s and a lot of things changed. Women expected men to do more at home, and often women were working out of the home themselves. But a lot of people were stuck in these 1950s or 1960s marriages, and they looked around and they said, I signed up for this, but I don't want it anymore. I want what we're seeing in the feminist revolution. So that ended up leading to the ending of a lot of marriages. Now today, social scientists say, people are again marrying with the same expectations in mind, which is that there will be more sharing of housework and childcare. Women will probably work outside the home. And because people are on the same page again, their marriages are lasting.
What about the number of people getting married? Fewer marriages, fewer divorces. How does that factor into the data now?
That's definitely an important piece of it, is that fewer people are marrying now overall. The marriage rate in the United States is declining, and part of that probably means that fewer marriages that aren't going to work out end up happening. For example, there are fewer shotgun marriages. There are many, many more single mothers who don't get married simply because they were pregnant, and that probably means that they're less likely to get divorced because a shotgun marriage might not have been as strong as it could be in the first place. So that's part of it, but there really is a bigger underlying trend here, which is that even among the people who do choose to get married, divorces are going down.
I'm also reading a lot or hearing things about people getting married later in life. Does that have any determining force on whether or not people stay married?
Absolutely. So right now, men are getting married at age 27 on average, women at age 26. In some places, it's even later. That is much, much older than it was in the 50s. In the 50s, the median age for women was 20, and for men, it was 23. And what that means, social scientists say, is that people are getting to know themselves a lot better, getting to know their potential partners a lot better, having more time to date, potentially living together before they get married. And all of this means that they're more likely to choose the partner who they can spend the rest of their lives with, as opposed to making a more immature choice.
Is this decline in divorce rates over the last 20 years spread out among the population or just within certain demographics?
Well, this is one of the most troubling things about the data, which is that the decline in the divorce rate and the rise in family stability is really among college-educated people who tend to have higher incomes. Hmm. For working-class people who might not have graduated from college, the divorce rate is still pretty high. people are really worried about this because the inequality in our country, it seems, goes way beyond how much money people are making, but really means that that there are differences in the stability and happiness of families. In some cases, some of the researchers who I talked to who have studied working class families say that because the men are still in larger percentages out of work after the recession, that really is not good for family stability. Women don't necessarily have the resources to have, you know, they say, another mouth to feed in addition to their children. And men don't necessarily feel like they're performing the breadwinner role that they want to. And that's really causing a lot of turmoil.
Well, what do you think, Claire, that this 50% of marriages end in divorce myth persist despite, you know, articles like you wrote that have been written for 20 years now and the efforts of social scientists who say that the data just doesn't support it?
Well, for one, it's just one of those easy statistics. People just say it all the time. If you listen to the news, whenever a celebrity gets divorced, people just say 1 in 2 marriages end in divorce, and it's easy. I also think another reason is that think of the young people who are now marrying for the first time now. They were the same people who were raised in the 70s and early 80s, and their parents did get divorced at that rate. So there are a lot of people who are now for the first time thinking of marriage for themselves who were raised in the peak divorce era, and that's very much on their mind.
Claire Kane Miller, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Claire Kane Miller, she covers tech and gender and work and family for the New York Times website, The Upshot. You'll find a link to read her article, The Divorce Surge is Over, but the Myth Lives On. It's at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks so much for listening today. There is much more to hear and to explore at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also follow us or send us your feedback or share your ideas for the program on Facebook and on Twitter. After all, the most fascinating stories travel by word of mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for more of them tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
and senior producer Maureen McMurray.
With help from our interns,
Fiona Shea
and Katie McAuliffe.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its Board of Trustees,
or its underwriters. Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.